Welcome to Wallowing in the Shallows, the podcast that skirts the perilous drop-off of a deep dive into television and movies. We are academic nerds aspiring to become TV and movie geeks. There are no spoiler guards in the shallows, so listen at your own risk. This week, join us for a wallow in a Buffy the Vampire Slayer Season 2 rewatch.
Hey, hello, peeps. Welcome to Wallowing in Shallows, this is Tori.
And this is Rebecca. And today we are talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Season 2, Episode 16, Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered.
Yes, that song. The hallway scene. I know we're going to get to it. I love the hallway scene.
You had, the listeners don't know this, but you had given me a heads up that you really liked this episode.
Agreed.
This was so fun. And it's kind of one of those things that, oh my gosh, all of these women fawning over a man that I could get all bothered about it.
Right.
No, this was a spell and it's Xander and it's just all pure gold. I had no problems with it. I really thought it was just very funny.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they did a great job. And I meant to look at the list to see where Rolling Stone marked this.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Oh my gosh. I had forgotten everything about the show.
Well, it's been a long time since we've recorded.
It really has. The listeners may not feel the same way, but for us, it has been a while.
It has been a while. But they've only got it ranked at number 67.
Wow.
But of course, they're looking the whole season and we haven't gone through all that yet. I would have put it higher, but that's just because I enjoy it a lot. It makes me laugh.
Yeah, this really was a good one.
Yeah, yeah. And we know my big concern is, am I entertained?
Yes. And are you entertained? I am.
I am. Yes, Russell, we're entertained. So anyways, all right. Well, I got a little synopsis here from IMDb.
Oh, yes. Thank you for bringing me back on track. Go for it.
Well, I got us off track right away. Okay, here we go. Nice, insecure Xander's unnatural, passionate, yet loveless relationship with snooty, selfish Cordelia has never felt right. But when her friends find out and decide that's the end of her popular status, she dumps him without hesitation, ironically, without getting back in their favor. Being dumped on Valentine's Day after he gave her a swell, heart-shaped necklace is too much abuse, even for Xander's low self-esteem. So when he notices Amy is taking up her mother's witchcraft, he blackmails her into putting his scorner under a love spell so he can take his revenge by dumping her just as painfully. Alas, the novice's ineptly executed spell works on every girl except Cordelia, and that means dangerous irrationality. Meanwhile, vampire Spike, Drusilla, and especially spiteful Angelus have their own unconventional ideas about celebrating a Valentine's Day. The end.
You know what? I think I have to disagree with the characterization of Xander's and Cordelia's relationship as purely lust-based. Mm. I think they kind of discover in this episode that they kind of think maybe that's it, but that maybe there really are some real feelings. Of course, Cordelia lets the social thing blind her, but by the end, and Xander at the beginning is sort of like, well, you know, maybe it's just blah, 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 blah. But I'm not saying it's true love and they should be together forever and ever, but I just am saying I think it's a little more than just lust.
I don't know where I land on that. I'm going to have to ponder it for a little while. Yeah. TBD. Well, before I forget, the director is James Contner, and the writer is Marty Noxon, and I believe I mentioned her. You may not remember, since it's been so long since we recorded a Buffy. I mentioned that I was looking forward to Marty Noxon episodes and Jane Espenson, who we won't see or hear from, I think, until next season. But so, yeah, I think this is the first one she did on her own, but I could be wrong about that. I'd have to really do some more research. I'm just talking off, you know, top of my head here.
Nice.
Yeah. But okay. What do you want to talk about first?
Okay. Oh, also funny that they called it a heart-shaped necklace. It looked like a locket to me.
Yeah, I thought it was a locket too.
We never saw if there was anything inside of it.
Yeah.
Buffy was like, "You think she'll know what it is?" I think that was sort of like a heartless comment, not a, that she wouldn't understand what a locket was, but if she doesn't have a heart, I don't know. That's what I picked up.
I thought it was a locket too, because it was pretty big. Not that there aren't big chunky necklaces, but they're usually not just on a chain like that.
And she really, well, here's another. So to my, okay, to gather evidence that there's a little more than just lust here. One, right before she breaks up with him, she says the locket is very pretty, which, it's something Xander picked out. I don't know, And then even after they broke up, she proceeds to wear it hidden. So clearly she's not over, she didn't mean nothing to him. And she's like, "Oh, it's in my locker." And then secretly removes it from her neck. So anyway, I'm just going to put that in the favor of feelings a little deeper.
I would agree with that for sure, because I mentioned that too, that oh, she's really wearing it. She really does care for him. But I mean, this is an episode where we see some growth in Cordelia and gets a little depth, right? It's not just all about the popularity, so
I had said I had said, "Wow, how the mighty have fallen. Queen Bee has been dethroned. It just happened so quickly there." And it was a little bit brave of Cordelia to actually put this out in the open, because she knew Xander was not in the right cast, if you will. And Amy, I was like, at first, when I just first saw her, I was like, "Oh, she's familiar." And I was like, "Oh, wasn't her mom the witch?" And I was kind of like, "Did she go to another school with her dad or blah, blah, blah?" Because the dad kind of showed up. Anyway, Amy's back. Amy is back and up to witchcraft while her mom is stuck in the trophy.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I mean, that would be weird, don't you think?
To have your mom in a trophy.
Yeah, and to
I
be
think that
and
would be
see it
weird.
5 days a week when you're at school.
Yes.
Hey,
I think it
Ma.
would be really, really strange.
How you doing, Mom? Let me tell you, let me bring you up to date on what's happening. And people look at her like she's crazy because she's talking to this case of trophies.
And then one of the many things I had forgotten was all the tension between Calendar and Buffy. I was like, "Wait, what went down there?" And I was like, "Okay, I do remember that Calendar's family had cursed Angel." And I couldn't remember exactly what had gone down. Like, did she kidnap Buffy or try to kill Buffy or what? There was something going on there beyond just knowing the stuff about Angel that she didn't tell him.
That's pretty much what it was. She didn't try to kill Buffy or anything like that, but she had kept this big secret, right? And if Buffy and Angel had known, they might not have did what they did.
Made him ecstatically happy.
Yes. So I think that's what's going on there.
And I was this I had not forgotten. I hate Hell Angel. I do not like anything about, I don't like how he treats Spike. I don't like how he treats Buffy. I'm over it. I'm over it with Angel. I don't know how long this lasts. I don't think it lasts forever, but I just really don't like it. That was my
Yeah.
least favorite part of the episode.
The Angela stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, bad angel.
There wasn't much of it, though. There was the, you know, there just was not a whole lot of it. So it didn't taint the episode much for me.
All right. Did you think it was weird? And I'm talking about the cold opening and going back to the necklace. Did you think it was weird that Xander shows this necklace that he bought for Cordelia, and he shows it to Buffy, right? And he still makes this allusion to the fact, when they're talking about Xander and Cordelia's relationship, that
Here, the only other person I'm interested in is unavailable.
and I'm like, why? What? Huh? Why would you do that when you clearly like Cordelia? I mean, you got her this necklace, it's Valentine's Day, and yet you're still gonna tell Buffy that you're still kind of interested in her?
Totally agreed. And then we have it later, right, when
Yeah.
she's like possessed. So
Yeah.
this goes in the column against real feelings for Cordelia,
Right.
is that yes, it feels a little like Cordelia is still like a substitute, that if Buffy really had come to him with real feelings, Cordelia would get dropped because it does still seem, and yeah, I thought that was totally not, it was not cool at all. And I jotted down, still holding a candle for Buffy. So no, that was not great. I totally support him getting her opinion on it as another woman. So that's cool. You know, hey, what do you think? Is this appropriate? Kind of stressed out. But yeah, the only other person I'm interested in is wink, wink, nod, nod, unavailable. Not cool.
Maybe, I don't know. I'm not even gonna maybe it. I don't know. It was weird. So I couldn't figure out why in this episode they kept dressing Cordelia like she was a 30-year-old bank teller or something like that.
I think I totally know what you're talking about when she's hiding the locket
Well, even
in.
in the opening scene when we see her, like after the credits roll and we see her coming up to the school, I just thought they really, I don't know, costume design that for this episode. No.
I didn't remember that one. I did find the locket hiding one quite non-Cordelia, but I thought her dress was lovely to the Valentine's
Oh,
Day thing.
yes, that was the only the big plus of what Cordelia was wearing. In this episode, that dress was pretty kick ass. I mean, I thought even Harmony was dressed better for the most part, but that cadre of mean girls led by Harmony, come on.
What is wrong with people? I just this is I just cannot imagine, even when I was a stupid teenager, being like that. Of course, I never had quite the social clout. Maybe the power would have gone to my head. I don't know.
Could be. I didn't have social clout either, so.
But even turning against your own, you know? I mean, oh, I don't know. It just was pretty ugly.
I was just thinking back to that episode in season one with the invisible girl, and Cordelia's talking about, what it's like to be popular and that it can be lonely and things like that. And I don't know, this is kind of a almost a continuation of that a little bit, like the difficulties of being popular.
You got to maintain that status and talk about surface relationships. I mean, we're talking about Xander and Cordelia. Well, clearly Cordelia's friendships, quote unquote, are pretty whisper thin.
And I could figure out, this gets back to whole makeup wardrobe hair thing. I'm expanding a little bit from wardrobe now. What was with the one girl with the 1950s hair?
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I'm trying to find my line. How funny was that? She comes on to Xander, right? She absolutely, it just stood out to me. We saw her again briefly a little later,
Yeah,
but
she's in
the
the
hair wasn't
spray.
quite as out of control. But oh, that was hysterical. I was just trying, I don't think I had anything too pithy, but I too pithy. But oh my gosh. I absolutely thought the same thing. So I will just concur. What was with? Oh yeah, where did I said this was my this is what I wrote down. Where did that girl's hair come from?
Yeah,
The
exactly. I was just like, wow, that's like the hair you saw on almost every girl in a store in a show in the 1950s, if they were a
50s.
teenager, right? I was just like, wow, that's really bad choice. I mean, maybe, when I was in high school, we would have sock hops like they did in the 50s, and you would be encouraged to wear something like from the 1950s because most of us, our mothers were teenagers in the 1950s and they might still have stuff. But that would have been like the only time you would do something like that to your hair. It was very Olivia Newton-John in Grease.
100%.
Sandy. Yeah. Yeah. That's what it was. Anyways, that's a little bit of a tangent, but
Oh, but a very important one.
and Buffy
I'm
with
glad
the
you pointed it out.
scars. Early on in the episode, I mean, like the
Oh.
first two big scenes, I'm like, what is with those damn scarves?
Well, one was almost like a garrote. I mean,
Yes,
what
Unless it has Ms. Marvel powers,
Yeah.
then you don't need the scarf like that.
Yeah. And it looked like a real hazard. You take a trip and fall, and that thing sticks somewhere. You're in trouble. Did you, after the first scene with Angel giving Drew a literally a heart, when that black box with the black bow was delivered to Buffy's place, I was like, oh my God, what is in the box?
What's in
Were you at all
the
surprised? Well, you're gonna have to think back to the first time you saw the show, but I was surprised that it was just roses. Now, I know it said the soon in there, so that was horrific and frightening, but I was just sure there was going to be something in there that was not great.
I don't remember.
Okay.
I guess just from the shape of the box, though, for me, that screamed flowers.
Sure.
So I'm not sure I really thought anything about it.
I was
I
very
thought they would have
nervous.
been black. Maybe I would have
Right.
been surprised. I was surprised when they were red, but I don't remember being surprised that they were flowers.
Yeah, I was like, oh God, black box, black box, black box, bad news. I'm just like, what's going to be? Oh, okay.
That's funny.
I mean, right after he just put a raw heart in front of Drew, you know?
And what her reaction was over the top.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I also don't like this for Spike. I don't like this little, I mean, he's debilitated and Angel's catting around. And Angel doesn't give it. Angel doesn't care about Drew. Angel is just pure evil right now. So he's just toying with Spike and he's toying with Drew as he has for eternity. I hate it. I hate
Always been
everything about
obsessed
this
with
Angel
her.
state.
Yeah, it's a reminder of the obsession he had with her, and of course he's now obsessed with Buffy. And of course now, after the spell, all these girls or women are obsessed with Xander, so it's all about obsession. Which, of
Well, there you
course, I
go.
had to start singing the Animotion song. You're an obsession.
Good song.
Won't sing anymore. God knows I can barely keep a tune in a bucket.
Was enough. Enough for
What did
me.
you think? Sorry, backing it up a little bit more. When Giles is in the hallway, and of course the Scooby Gang's in the hallway, and Giles is like,
Buffy, could I have a word?
Have a sentence, even.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Somehow I just really enjoy the quips in this show.
Yes.
But sorry, still on the outs with Miss Calendar,
Hate
as
it.
you
Another,
mentioned,
okay, that's another thing I hate. Though Calendar Giles later with Calendar obsessed with Xander
That was
is
so funny.
gold. She does such a good job. That it was almost my favorite flirtation with Xander because I hated the Willow one. I mean, it was good, but I was like, oh, this is sad. And you just like Oz even more because he's up all night on the phone, you know, talking her through her obsession with Xander. And he doesn't know she's under a spell. And so it just puts more points in Oz's favor. But it just was such a cruel, I know it was a backfire and this was not at all intentional, but that is the one that kind of hurt to see.
Which, even Buffy kind of brings up
Yeah,
later at the end.
exactly.
So good for you, Buffy.
Yeah.
But I loved it when Oz just busts Xander
Oh, yeah.
across
It was
the way.
perfect. And he deserved it.
He did. He did. He did. He did. Oh, and Willow's so cute, right? When she and Amy and Buffy are talking in the classroom, and Buffy's like, go ahead, you know you want to.
Yes.
She's like, my boyfriend's in the band.
Awesome.
So cute. She's so cute. And I love when she turns to Xander when they're in the bronze, and she's like,
"I think I'm a groupie."
Yes, she's a lot more than a groupie.
Yes, she is. She is.
She's selling herself short there. But yes, that was a cute thing to say. So obviously, I knew something was going to go wrong with this spell. Mm-hmm. I just wasn't sure what it was. So my initial suspicion was he was going to get an item that he thought was Cordelia's that was actually somebody else's. So this, what ended up happening was way better. But that was my first suspicion, was he was going to bring her something that was not Cordelia's. Mm. So somebody else was going to get obsessed with him. And then what happens next? We know that Cordelia does not seem to be enamored with him, right, which really overplayed his hand, right?
Yeah.
Just immediately went right into the lion's den.
Right.
Didn't kind of verify anything had worked first.
Right.
And then what do we have next? It's Buffy, right? Is the first person to come on to him Buffy? I think so.
Yes, yes.
Because then I was like, oh my gosh, because she touched the locket, or because in the incantation she said his love, you know, and Buffy was his true love. So that's kind of what I thought happened. She had touched the locket, so that was enough to be hers. And she was actually the one that Xander loved. But then I wasn't right about that either. Then it turns out it is everybody. It is all the women. And, you know, I think some of the men, too, because there were two looks at Xander's from the men. Some of them was disdain, like, you are my competition. Mm-hmm. But a few of them seemed to be checking him out.
I was looking for that, but I didn't notice it.
Some of that.
Well, it might have been because I didn't start looking for it right away. I was like, I wonder if any of the boys are looking at him that way.
And I think it only happened at the when he was sort of walking through the hall, where there was the slow Xander walk through the hall and everybody was looking him up and down. Mm-hmm. And that's when I thought I saw a few guys, again, either looking him up and down with sort of admiration or disdain.
Yeah, I mean, they could have put it in there. I was reading something, and again, this was like well over a year ago, so I don't remember what I was reading, but evidently they were having some conversations, and I'm pretty sure it was in season two, about making either Xander or Willow gay.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were kind of playing around with that a little bit, trying to figure out, number one, did they want to go that way? And if they did, who did they want to go that way with? So that might have been one of the ways they were kind of slowly introducing the idea to the audience. Again, this is the 90s still, and so there's still quite a bit of, there's still quite a bit of homophobia today, but it was
much more
open, right, back then. So yeah, maybe that's, I think, one of the reasons I wanted to look. I'm like, oh, I wonder if it's in there. But I'm glad you said that you did see, you think you saw some of that.
I thought I did. It was a pretty quick little bit. And obviously there weren't any guys chasing him down at the end, even though there was a woman with a rolling pin.
I think that one of the lunch ladies from the school.
So, you know, lunch ladies go nowhere without their rolling pins.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just have to throw in there, the fire axe makes its way back into the plot once again.
I thought of you when I saw it.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you did, because I am just constantly on axe watch. I mean, it showed up at least two other times, I think. I just don't think they're in schools anymore.
Yeah, you'd think Sunnydale would learn, you know, don't have the axe in the school.
good God, yes. Speaking of the locket. So in general, I do believe that a gift given is a gift given and you shouldn't return it.
Yeah.
But if you literally are handed the gift and you then break up with the person.
Yeah.
I do think that she should have said, it's beautiful, but I can't accept it. We have to break up, right?
Yes.
I did think it was pretty tasteless should Xander really be asking for it? He was just trying to get back at her, whatever. But I think she or it was poor form to for her to take it in the first place. Oh, the
He was
reason
kind of
she
huffed
he
off,
wanted
didn't
it
he?
back was the object. That was the reason he wanted it back, not because he wanted that's right. But anyway, I think she should have given it.
She shouldn't have accepted it. I think you were right there.
But then it wouldn't have been hers. So maybe she had to accept it in order for him to it have been her object. Yeah. And then
Plot
she wouldn't have been
device.
wearing it.
So,
MacGuffin.
yes. I wish I would have thought of that. I just try to remember that. Okay. Anyways, I'm going to back it up again. Did
Yes.
you, when Xander was kind of talking to Amy in that classroom about the spell that he wanted her to do, did you notice the post? This isn't a trivia question or anything like that, but did you notice the, well, it is, but not really, the poster behind Xander?
There was one poster, I recall one poster from sometime in the series, and it may have sometime in the episode, and it may have been this one. There was one that was behind somebody that was like, think sitting in this chair or something. It was something about sitting in a wheelchair for 50 years or something. Was it anything about sitting or a wheelchair?
No.
Oh, okay. Then it must have been a different
No, it was about
poster.
famous British authors.
Oh, totally saw that poster. That
Okay.
isn't the one, but thank you for that placement. And actually, I rewound it once to see because I thought one of the men might have been Shakespeare, but I honestly did not recognize any of them just from those pictures. And as you know, I know a lot of British authors.
Well, I
Maybe I don't know what they
think,
look like.
well, Shakespeare was in there.
Okay.
Because
I must not
I
look close.
was pausing a lot and rewinding and pausing and rewinding and pausing and rewinding. So, yeah, one of them was Shakespeare. And then I about 99% sure that the one that was next to Shakespeare was Charles Dickens. And then I think the one underneath Charles Dickens was Arthur Conan Doyle. And maybe this one I'm really not sure about. I'm pretty sure about Arthur Conan Doyle too. And I think next to Arthur Conan Doyle might have been Wordsworth. But that one I'm maybe 20% sure. And then there was another one, another section underneath it, but I couldn't see that at all. So
I'm so glad you did a deep dive on this because I only did a cursory glance and it did make me think I really need to know what some of these guys look like more. I mean, you see Shakespeare pictures all the time, but I can't conjure Charles Dickens in my mind. I have some kind of picture of Arthur Conan Doyle, but it may be sort of mixed with Sherlock Holmes.
I agree, 'cause I was like, it's a little Sherlock Holmesy, but and that's why I went and I looked up. I'm like, yeah, I think that's Arthur Conan Doyle.
Okay.
But I was like, Shakespeare has to be on that poster.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't put a Brit Lit poster up without including Shakespeare.
Exactly. You
Whether he
know,
wrote them all or not.
at this point, does it really matter? No.
Agreed.
So, and we'll never know for sure unless somebody invents a freaking time machine and goes back, screws up all our history, and
Maybe it's already happened.
bad things ensue. Did you wonder, this episode made me wonder yet again, how are these students being able to work spells in the chem lab at school at night? Is there
Excellent
no
question.
security? Where's Snyder? Why isn't Snyder around kicking him out?
Excellent question. These rooms are typically locked. Because they often
Chemicals.
have hazardous chemicals. You don't just leave a chemistry lab open. Any self-respecting chemistry teacher will tell you that. You all know who you are.
Oh, yeah, that was, I'm like, okay, again, plot device. But I did write down, I'm like, where is Snyder or the night cleaning crew? Are you kids supposed to be here?
They don't even show them pick a lock or anything.
Nope, they're
It's
just
just like they
there.
can just walk in and do it. Oh my God. Have we ever seen the giant beetle on Xander's wall before?
No, I don't. Have we seen? Oh, we did see. Did we see Xander's? Oh, yeah. We saw it with the. God, I hope I'm not. Yeah,
Why, Xander?
the Patsy Cline song, when he asked Buffy to the dance in season one, episode 12, Prophecy Girl.
Well, it just really stood out to me this time.
I never noticed
And
it. I don't.
I need him to not have that beetle on his wall. That looks a little too real.
I did notice the X-Men poster. And I did notice the beetle.
Yeah.
But it was just kind of random.
And right next to your bed, I mean,
Yeah.
in a hazy wake up, I could go, whoa, what the, you know, no, I don't need to wake up to that.
Yeah. That scene was with Willow in the bed. I'm like,
Oh,
no,
I know. I know.
no. Of course, I
It's
was
time for
doing.
me to act. Oh, go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
It's time for me to act like a man and hide.
Yes. I was doing the no thing with the library when he was talking to Buffy too, and
Oh,
he, of course, being Xander, has to smut it up and like, oh, would a lap dance be involved? And she gives him that look, and she's like, play your cards right. I'm like, no. You know, you would think Xander would go, yeah, something's wrong, but it's really isn't until he's talking to Amy out in the hallway and she says the exact same line that Buffy does that it clicks into his brain that something's wrong in River City. Oh, we got trouble.
We sure do. And then I did it was interesting because I was like, how is Cordelia not affected? And then we find out the working hypothesis is because since it was her item, she was the only one that was shielded from the spell.
Yeah.
Oh, and
Way to
speaking
go,
of
Amy.
this, yeah, exactly. But all the more powerful, you know, is like instead of one person, it's like every other female ever. And I did really like when Giles was like, are you really this foolish, you know, this much of a fool to do this? He's like,
Oh no, I'm twice the fool it takes to do something like this.
I'm twice the fool it takes to do something like this.
Yes, one of his self-aware moments.
Yeah, that was great.
I love the music that they use for Xander, that jaunty violin music.
Yes.
It becomes Xander's theme. And so whenever we've got Xander hijinks, we'll get that song or that melody or whatever you call it.
Nice.
Do,
Did you notice that not once, but twice in this episode, when Xander is trying to hide from people and sort of block them out, that he blocks from the wrong side of the door?
Yes. Where was the
No.
second one? The first
Okay.
one was in the library, right?
Yes. So number one, right? He pushes the heavy thing up against the door that opens out. And so the next person just pulls the door open and walks right in. Second time in Joyce's house, when
In
they're
the
going into
basement?
the basement and he is nailing the door frame, and all you need to do is open the door out. And so they just open the door and they start, you know, just they duck under or whatever these boards that he has nailed into the door frame twice. I wish I could have said it. That happens once, not twice, but thrice. But I cannot. I could only see two cases.
That's funny. I noticed the library one for sure, but I for some reason it didn't register with the basement door.
Yeah. I mean, that's gonna do nothing. It's gonna do nothing that way.
What did you think about, and then now we're back into Xander's bedroom with Willow,
Yes.
and he's trying to get away and he says, I don't want to use force, and she says, force is okay, and I'm like, really?
No, and I just don't. We don't need that. We don't need that getting put into. We don't need that out there as giving young men ideas.
Yeah, that's for
This
sure.
is what girls really want. Oh.
I didn't care for that.
No, I didn't either. It did struck. In fact, that is probably of all of this stuff that happened, you know, that is probably the only line that I was kind of like,
Yeah.
That didn't age well. And I don't approve of it.
Yeah. But I love the hallway scene. I know I've said it before. Got the love. And the nice way they shot it was just really great choices.
Anything you want to elaborate on that?
Yes, I can. When they've got the low angle and you just see the door open and it's just his feet basically walking. Mm-hmm. And it's slow-mo to that song, Got the Love. And then they start to pan up and everybody's staring at Xander. And many of the girls are looking, well, even the teachers, all the females are looking at him longingly, and they're giggling and whispering. And the guys that I saw were all looking at him with these looks of disgust on their face. And it's so funny. And I noticed one of the girls from earlier in the episode, and I think one of them was at the Bronze and saw Cordelia dump him. So anyway, that whole scene, and it's not very long. It's only a few seconds long.
Yes.
It kind of makes that episode for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's it.
And Cordelia reacts as, who died and made you Elvis?
Exactly.
And they go to take refuge in the house of a woman. What made them think that Joyce was going to be immune when all the teachers were fawning over him?
Right. Well, neither of them are really known for advanced planning or let's just get to the closest thing. Maybe he thought distance would have provided a buffer for Joycey.
I think Cordelia is rather intelligent. Yeah. Can she drive? That I'm not so sure. But I think she's pretty bright. This did not surprise me about Xander, but it did surprise me a bit about Cordelia.
Well, at that point, though, she doesn't know about the spell.
Oh.
So I don't think she would have thought twice about going into the house.
Okay, then that hangs together a lot better. If it's just Xander's logic, then
it's totally Xander's. She doesn't find out about it. Well, you know, they're in the kitchen, right? And she's locked Joyce out of the house.
Yes.
And she's like, you would have had to use witchcraft.
You're absolutely right.
So I think she didn't know.
You're absolutely right.
Occasionally.
Well, here, right on. We jumped over the part that Buffy's now a rat.
Yes. Yeah. And I guess they turned her into a rat because she had to go to New York to film Saturday Night Live.
Oh, my gosh. What a great little bit of trivia.
I learned that from the Buffyverse wiki.
Which you should never
go look at, because each of their episode things has this thing called continuity, and it spoils all sorts of stuff. So never go look at that wiki.
I have actually learned my lesson trying to look up anything. Mm-hmm. I did it once and I regretted it. So I just can't even. Yeah, and understandable. I mean, how old is the series? I begrudge no one for sort of having spoilers galore, but you just cannot do a general search on anything because there's so much information out there. And I think it's mostly consumed and created by people like you, right? People who really know the series and still want to talk about it, still want to, you know, and keep it alive, you know. And so they have all seen it backwards and forwards. And so, yes, no, those are dangerous waters, my friend. To you listeners, if you are at the same level I am, don't Google anything about Buffy the Vampire Slayer. IMDb is pretty safe, you know, looking at the episode guide or whatever.
Right.
But watch yourself. It's dangerous waters out there.
Yeah, there's some debate. I didn't get into it too deeply, but some people... And it's about this episode. Some people think that Xander should be given credit because he didn't take advantage of Buffy.
Mm-hmm.
And other people are like, He doesn't deserve any credit for that at all, because that's just human decency. And I'm like, huh, that's true. I can see both sides of the argument, particularly in the 90s, right? Because it's really not until, you know, a decade or so later, with all the rich preppy boys in, what, California or something, that start to get taken to court and stuff and arrested for date rape and things like that. It's really, I think, a decade later before that really starts to be something that's talked about in the United States. Before, it was just
consent and
what does informed consent mean, and so forth. So I can see both arguments, right? And it's easy now to look back. I mean, you know, hindsight 2020 kind of thing.
Yes, an interesting point to ponder. Loved, and I didn't see it coming, and I just loved it when Angel shows up and is attacking Xander, that it's Drusilla. I just loved it. I didn't see it coming. I didn't, and then we have the additional, even the undead females are after Xander. I mean, this spell, Amy, I mean, it misfired, but holy cow.
Powerful.
What a powerful spell.
Yeah. Yes. They're lucky there weren't more vampires in that group.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do remember being surprised when Drew shows up to save Xander. But I laughed a lot. I thought it was really funny.
That was great. It really was. I was like, wow, Drew and Angel. OMG, even Drew is hot for Xander.
Although I just hate it when she's like something about calls herself mummy. I'm like, why do people think that's sexy to refer to yourself to as mummy daddy? It's
disturbing. Another great moment for Drew is when she just shoves in the door, but yet cannot enter, but just physically shoves in the door. I don't know. It's just like, you go, girl. I mean, right. She's got super strength now. She was so weakened before, but she got a bunch of angel strength, right? It was that whole draining situation.
Yep.
Though he seems to be doing just fine still.
Yeah, it didn't seem to affect him too much.
Oh.
A lot of people getting really smacked in this episode.
Oh, yeah. Very true.
You know, Buffy clocks Amy, 1950s hair girl, shoves Cordelia into a locker, a bunch of people whamming on Cordelia in the hallway.
Axes everywhere. I mean, this thing really escalated. The rolling pin, you know.
Rolling pin,
I mean,
lady. Yep, yep. Oz clocks Xander.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Violence is not the answer, people.
No, no. But, man, oh my God. Giles was really harsh with Xander.
Let's go. Get out of my sight.
I'm like, wow, he's really mad.
I don't think Giles is in a good place right now.
No, no. Anyway, you were going to say something and I continued babbling.
No. you bab. I had entirely too much coffee this morning, so I should have apologized for that earlier. Yeah. Anyway, the door, again, the door that gets nailed in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
The people on the other side seem similarly confused, though there is a little hook that is keeping it locked. But also, the people behind the door don't seem to realize that it gets pulled open because someone takes a nut that goes right through, apparently, this door that's made of paper.
I think that's Joyce, because remember when she confronts Xander and Cordelia at the front door, she's got that knife.
And says that, you know, we've got to end it. Because, again, these feelings escalate so quickly from attraction to obsession to I can't leave without you, so now I'm going to kill you.
Yeah. I did like when Xander kind of rescues Cordelia in the school hallway and carries, and you know, then they go outside and there's Willow with the axe, and then Harmony's mob of girls runs out, and there's like these two mobs of females going at it. For some reason, that really made me laugh.
It was very funny.
Did you? I want before we get too far into it, mm-hmm. before we get too far further, too far further.
Mm-hmm.
Bad English, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Anyway, in the basement, the school yes. basement, and that's where the Buffy rat has escaped to.
Uh huh.
I have written down, why was Amy's dad in the basement? And I wanted to see if you would remember the reference.
Was, oh my gosh, because there was the cat that jumped out of the trunk.
Yep.
But we know Amy's dad is not a cat, right? Because
correct.
He's a yes. full human and she lives with him now.
Yeah.
But I do remember the cat jumping out of the trunk. And so interesting callback mm-hmm. because what the cat struck me was like, how many schools have a cat in the basement? Now,
right.
I do understand rat traps and I do yes. understand there being rats in a basement.
Yeah.
But a cat?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Of course, and why would a cat be in a trunk?
Right. And in case the listeners don't remember, we're talking about the witch episode from season one. And we were joking around and Rebecca came up with the whole, oh, maybe the cat was Amy's dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
The series never, ever suggests that. That's just us.
No, it was a hypothesis that I think was a really good one.
Given it was
the father's disappearance. And I think it would have been better than he just vanished and left his daughter in a very unhealthy situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I liked the being turned into a cat much better. And like once the witch was contained, then he became not a cat anymore. So notes, you know, just if you need a few plot improvements, just give us a call.
We should I was really going to tangent. I'm going to pull myself back. I'm reeling myself back in. I'm not even going to go on the tangent.
Okay.
So it was the whole stop, Tori, stop. Okay. Okay. So
now I like want to know, but oh, whatever you want.
Okay. You
Since
know,
I asked for it.
Our boys
yes.
have, in addition to their video reactions, they have a podcast. I don't know if you've listened to it yet.
You mean?
Jay and Adam.
Absolutely. I'm subscribed to that podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I see that more than the YouTube content.
Yeah, the Fix It. That's all. That's what popped into my mind when we were just saying that. So,
yeah. Yeah.
That's the preview channel. And their podcast, Fix It, where they fix pop culture.
Mm-hmm. And talk about other cool stuff.
Yes, yes, yes.
Roll
yes, yes.
for convo.
Yeah, that's amusing. I'm like, but damn, that's a good idea.
It is a good idea. Actually, that's the part I often like more than they're actually fixing the movies.
Yes.
Especially depending upon the movie.
Okay, that was the tangent.
So did you find it a little, I mean, I'm really glad to hear about the whole Buffy was off to New York because the whole Oz sort of chasing down the rat and the rat trap and blah, blah, blah. I was like, what is happening here? It really seemed tangential to the story. And, it just ended up that the whole point was because she's naked and so Oz can go get her clothes. It kind of makes sense that they were just trying to keep Sarah Michelle going, you know, trying to cover this absence of her.
Right. Yeah. I guess I never really thought, I've seen that a lot this episode. I never really thought about that.
Mm.
I didn't think it was necessarily weird that he was going, somebody had to go look for Buffy.
But like nobody else was. It was like suddenly it was all on Oz to find her.
Well, it was really just because Giles had sent Xander home. And so it was just Giles.
I guess Giles was who I was kind of thinking should have been involved more.
Because
what the heck was he even doing? Well, I guess he was helping stop the spell.
Yeah. Yeah. He was working with Amy to stop the spell. But that would have been really weird, right? If it had been this adult Giles that finds Buffy naked in the basement.
But the two of them together wouldn't have been so bad.
No, if they were both together, that would have been a little bit better, but it was less, I don't know, I guess maybe less threatening that it was just Oz, you know, and Oz is all chill, laid back. So I
Well,
don't
as we know,
know.
Oz is the most emotionally intelligent of all characters on Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, here's the Drew line. Don't fret, kitten. Mommy's here.
Oh, I hate it. I don't like me. I would never call a guy a kitten either, you know? I wouldn't
Right.
call maybe a little kid. Maybe I'd call a little kid kitten. But not somebody that I was trying to have sexy time with.
No, I mean I call my nephew Gatito, but his name is Catlin. So
And you knew him as a child,
I knew him as a
and you
wee
certainly
child.
had no romantic
No,
interest in him at any time.
and it's just little cat, right? Gatito.
Yeah, that's
So,
sweet.
yeah, it was just weird. But that's, you know, Drew. She's a freaking psycho vampire.
Yeah, well, that's true. It really brings through that vibe.
Yeah. All right. I was happy with the spell casting, and Giles didn't feel the need to like say things in a really loud voice with his hands up in the air. Because I was watching, I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot. Does he put his hands up and speak really loud? He did not. Wow. What did you think about Cordelia's explanation to everybody when the spell was broken?
You mean when she finally stands up for herself? Which part? Which?
No, like they're in the basement, right? And the spell's broken and
Oh,
all
the
these things.
scavenger hunt then.
Yeah, she's like, boy, that was the best scavenger hunt ever.
Well, once again, right? So many times here we have to ask ourselves these questions. Clearly, Buffy remembered everything. So, you know, did everybody remember everything and were just too ashamed to say it? Or were some people really so befuddled and it just was like, oh, a scavenger hunt, I guess that's it, you know? I mean, the title is Bewitched,
Yeah.
Bothered, and Bewildered.
Bewildered.
So maybe many of them, after being bewitched, were just bewildered and a little
Well,
confused.
and plus, as we've kind of talked about before, the residents of Sunnydale are like ostriches.
They can't remember last Tuesday, let alone.
Yeah. Yeah. I think to live in Sunnydale, you have to have the kind of ultimate skill of repression.
Agreed.
We're just going to repress that this ever happened and
We
move
just
on.
need, yes, we just need to move on. Heads up, just continue to go. Heads down, I guess. Not heads up, heads down.
Yep, exactly.
I loved how the other scene with Cordelia, where she confronts the gang, is right by the famous stairs.
The stairs. Yeah, she gives it to Harmony. And you
Yeah.
know, 1950s hair girl is there too.
She sure is. Her 50s hair is a little toned down here,
Little
but
bit.
you can tell it's still her.
Still 1950s hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, I thought it was great. She calls out
And
Harmony.
I knew when they broke up. I just knew they were going this, it was not over. I knew this, they were going to make their way back to each other. I did not know it was going to happen in this episode, but I knew it wasn't over.
Yeah. Cordelia.
I do what I want to do, and I wear what I want to wear, and you know what? I'll date whoever the hell I want to date. No matter how lame he is.
Like
I'm
Xander's
way
look.
cooler than you.
Yeah. Boy. And when Cordelia starts to have that little freak out, like, oh my God, what have I done? And Xander's like, don't worry. You know, when we're in public, we'll fight a lot.
Yes.
And she's like, you promise? And he's like, you can
Right.
pretty much bet on it.
Was good. It was good. Yeah, just a very fun, entertaining episode with some character development
Yeah.
and just a feel good time. And not a whole lot of psychological torture of Angel on Buffy. Just a tad.
Just a tad. Well, we're starting to set up, right, the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're at episode 16, so we got 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. There's six episodes left. So I think this episode is a little bit lighthearted and is kind of setting up. I mean, we already know, even pre-Angelus, Angel was a little bit obsessed with Buffy.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, it doesn't change much. It just gets scarier.
Ah, twisted.
Yeah.
Well, I'll take a deep breath and Sir John, but I just can't imagine he's going to be this way forever. So we'll just see what happens.
All right. And our next episode is called Passion.
Oh, dear.
So,
okay.
Yeah, I guess all we got to do is say bye.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Wallowing in the Shallows is created and produced by the both of us. Edited by Mo. The soundtrack for the Wallowing in the Shallows Buffy the Vampire Slayer Season 2 rewatch is Apache Rock Instrumental by Sound Atelier, available on Jamendo.com. You can send us feedback at witstvpod@gmail.com. That's WITSTVPOD@gmail.com.
Subscribe.
And then subscribe.
And then subscribe.
Subscribe.
Hit that subscribe button.
Like and subscribe.